As we come to God's Word this evening, I have, in a way, two points of focus. It's obviously Mission Sunday, and I thank God that by a gracious providence, it's also the first Sunday of June. Now, normally, on the first Sunday of the month, I preach from the text on our calendar, and I preach in the morning. But as it's worked out, we had a visiting speaker this morning. I don't like to give a text to visiting speakers. So I thought, well, I would deal with this myself this evening. If you've turned your calendar over, you will see that today's or this month's text is, I have come that they may have life. It's one of those texts that suffers from over-familiarity, and yet it suffers from over-familiarity because of its wonderful truth. I appreciated what Alex had to say, particularly, well, I appreciated his word this morning, but as far as preparation for this evening, I appreciated what he was saying this afternoon, where the fact that when he went to Peru, missions was still a big thing here in the UK, and churches were strong, and they were sending out missionaries. But the wheel of life has turned, and we are in a situation now where countries that were once receiving countries are now sending countries. And we, who at one stage, certainly in the 18th and 19th centuries, we were the leading country in sending missionaries, we are now in a situation where we need to be receiving missionaries and people coming to make the wonders of the gospel known. The words from our text, they were read this evening in John chapter 10 and verse 10, and they deal with the whole purpose of the gospel. Jesus has come that we might have life. Now, we can think that if we're going to be involved in mission, then it has to be foreign mission. It has to be going overseas. No, the essence of the Christian message is that we are to be living in obedience to the commission that Jesus gave to us. He gave it in each of the Gospels. With Mark, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. In Matthew, it was go and make disciples of all nations. With Luke, he was clear that forgiveness and remission of sins must be preached to all nations, repentance and forgiveness of sins. John called his disciples, or called, record Jesus telling his disciples that they are to care for God's sheep. And there in Acts 1, we are told that we will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So how does this verse fit in with that missionary theme? Well, it is part of one of the great passages of Scripture. John, in his Gospel, uses the name for Jesus, I Am, on seven different occasions. He begins in John 6 with Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. In John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. And here in this passage, in John 10, he says that I am the door of the sheep, in verse 7. And in verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. When we come to John chapter 11, Jesus says that he is the resurrection and the life. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the final I am is in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So John was wanting to emphasize that Jesus is the I Am of the Old Testament, the God, the eternal God, without beginning and without end, the unchanging God. So when Jesus says here, I have come that they may have life, in fact, in our translation, it says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus is, in fact, connecting these two titles here in John chapter 10. I am the door of the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. In other words, I am the only means of access to the kingdom of God, and I am the only one who will care for God's people. And it is here that Jesus says, I have come that they may have life. And I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. As we look at this passage tonight, I want us to see three different things. I want to see Jesus as a different man. I want us to see a different life. I want us to see that life doesn't have to carry on as it is in this world. And then thirdly, I want us to see a different flock, a different group of people that God is concerned to reach. So let's look at this first heading, a different man. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life. I came that they may have life. And at the beginning here, Jesus is emphasizing that he wants people to think about him. In many languages, when you have a verb, you don't have I, you, he, she, or it in front of it. But the way the verb is written includes the pronoun, whether it's I or you. But if you want to emphasize something, then you include a pronoun. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He is, in fact, saying, I, me, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, I came. And he is wanting his disciples and those listening to him to hear exactly what he is emphasizing. Jesus is saying, when everything that is going on, I am the one that you need to be thinking about. I am the one who needs to be the focus of your life. Now, let's look at that in context. In verse 1, he talks about a thief and a robber. Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. The same thing is said in verse 8. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. So Jesus is contrasting himself with thieves and robbers. And in actual fact, he is focusing on the religious leaders. And he is saying that in reality, people who do not focus on Jesus Christ as the Messiah, they are robbing him of glory. They are robbing him of his place in life. Similarly, he contrasts himself in verse 5 with strangers. A stranger they will not follow. Now, he's building up a picture. He is talking about sheep, and sheep will not follow a strange shepherd, but a shepherd will know his sheep by name. Sometimes a shepherd will even know the sound of his sheep. But the point that Jesus is making here is that if a stranger comes in and tries to call the flock out of a sheepfold, then they're not going to follow him. Why? Because they don't know him. Because he has not made himself known. And he has not built up a relationship with them. Jesus is saying, I came. I have come. And I want you to know that I'm different from the thieves and the robbers. I'm different from the strangers. He contrasts himself as well in verse 12 with a hired man. Sometimes shepherds would need to leave their sheep, and they would appoint a man to look after them while they were away. And verse 12 says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." And Jesus says, "I'm not a hired man. The sheep are mine. The people of this world are mine. I care for them." But then I want you to notice something in verse 10. In verse 1 and verse 8, Jesus has talked about thieves and robbers. But notice what he says in verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and to destroy." Verse 1, verse 8, it's a general statement. It's talking about anybody who might be wanting to draw attention to themselves. But in verse 10, it says, "the thief." Not just those thieves, that one. So who is he talking about? Well, there, undoubtedly, he is talking about Satan, the one who, even at the dawn of creation, came and he tempted Adam and Eve. He robbed creation of the pinnacle of creation. God had created the whole of the world. He had created man and woman. But Satan comes in and he steals them away. In chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus had said, talking to religious leaders, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." I have come, but I'm not like the thief. I have not come to steal. I have not come to rob. I have not come to murder. I have not come to lie. And Jesus is contrasting with these other characters, religious leaders, people who say that they have got the answer to life. Today, we might look at philosophers and others who feel that they have got the answer to life. Many spiritual people today, but their spiritual nature is not biblical. Now, all of these others, they come to steal. They come to kill. God had said back in Genesis, "You can eat of all the trees that are in the garden, but do not eat of that one, because when you eat of it, you will die." Now, it might be argued that Adam and Eve brought death upon themselves. But in actual fact, Satan knew what he was doing. He was tempting them in order that death might come upon them, in order that the creation that God has prepared might be destroyed. And tragically, that is the world in which we live. But what about the hired hands? Again, Jesus is attacking the religious leaders around him. And he says that when the wolf comes, or when anyone comes to destroy God's people, the hired hand, who is simply in it for money, will run away. And yet we have a glorious picture when David faces Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. This is David's testimony. "And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" And David was not a hired man when it came to doing the work of the shepherd. when the wolf came, when the lion came, when the bear came, he was there to face it and to face it down and to make sure that it did not destroy God's people, or didn't destroy the sheep in that case. But Jesus is saying, I will let no one destroy my people. In verse 7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. And what he is in actual fact saying is that sheepfolds, they were quite rudimentary buildings, possibly made of brushwood or a pile of stones forming a rugged wall, but there would be one opening to get in to the fold. And in order to get across the entrance, you had to get across the shepherd, because often he would sleep across that doorway. And Jesus is saying, I am the door of the sheep. No one's going to get at my sheep until they have got across me. Or the flip side of this is that Jesus is saying, my sheep are secure. No one can attack them because they are in my folds. And if you want that security in your life, then you have to come through me. In a later I am, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus is saying that here, that the only way to eternal life, the only way to abundant life here on earth, the only way to peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a world that has got many offerings to give. Oh, if you want a full life, get yourself a decent education. It will solve all your problems. Education is a great gift, but it will never give you peace with God. It will never give you peace with other people. We live in a world that has many different substances. Try this, try that. It will give you such a buzz. You will feel as though you don't need anything else until you need the next shot. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He has come to give life. Verse 11, Jesus says here that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And what Jesus is saying is that while everybody else runs, the hired man, while the thief comes to steal, to murder, and to lie, Jesus says, I will do anything to protect my sheep. And we know, we've got the rest of the Bible, that Jesus, instead of running away, in a way, he walked to the cross. He set his sights so that he might give his life to pay the price of our sin, that we might know peace with God. We use the term, he took the battle to the enemy, and he went to the cross knowing that it would cost him his life. Look at verse 17. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And Jesus is saying, it is all about me. I am the way to God. Notice, if we go back to verse 10, I came that they may have life. I came. Where did Jesus come from? Well, most people thought that he simply came from the region of Galilee, because that's where he did a lot of his teaching. And they said, you know, he's from Galilee. He's from up north. Other people thought that he was from Nazareth. And it was said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Others knew that he had been born in Bethlehem. And to them, it was a significant place. So these were answers as to where Jesus had come from. But in actual fact, when he says, I came, he is saying, I am the pre-existent one. I lived before I was given human life. I am the eternal God. I actually came from heaven. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is a different man. He is a different man because he is the Son of God, as well as being a man. But he says that I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants every person who believes in him to have life. We use the expression, don't we? Get a life. And Jesus is saying, I am offering a life. I am the one who is the only one who can give you life. Now, the term that he uses can speak about physical life, the life that we have in our bodies. But it can also speak about spiritual life. And in fact, I believe here that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about both. And a genuine Christian life changes both your physical life and your spiritual life. At the end of his gospel, John says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, that promise would suggest that our lives here on earth can be changed. But in the most famous verse in the Bible, probably, I don't know if John 3:16 or Psalm 23 are the most well-known passages of the Bible, but in John 3:16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus is saying, I want you to have life here on earth. I want you to live the right way. But ultimately, I want you to have that life which will take you into eternity. Often when we think of eternal life, we think of the life that we have after death. But friends, eternal life begins now. The Lord Jesus Christ forgives us our sins. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives to give us life. And therefore, we begin eternal life here. So that when we face physical death, we don't face it with fear, because we know that nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I came that they may have life. Friends, I want to ask you tonight, do you want life? Do you want a life that delivers you from the fear of tomorrow, that delivers you from your own failures? How many of you here tonight have said, I want to do better? This is a new start. I know where I am going. And you've passed your resolution, but tomorrow you're back to where you were. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I can change your life. Notice, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, excessively, exceedingly, beyond what is anticipated. The Christian life, friends, is not just a cleaned up life. It's not getting rid of the sins that you are guilty of. But it is a life that begins here on earth and takes you into eternity. As Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me ask you, do you have life tonight that is motivated and driven and empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you simply going through life, que sera, sera, whatever will be, even as a Christian? Are you trying to work out your own solutions? Paul says that Christ has died for me, and the life I now live in the faith, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Do you know that, friends? Do you know that Christ is in you? Do you know that he's working his purposes out? I know there are problems. I know there are challenges. And many of us who have walked with God for years, we hit situations and we think, well, where did that come from? I didn't see that coming. But friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told in Galatians 1, gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God and our Father. Friends, it is possible to have new life here on earth, a life that will take us into eternity. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm not saying come to Jesus and everything will be fine. What I am saying is come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will forgive your sins. He will give to you the Holy Spirit. And he will give to you a life that you could never have imagined. He called a group of men, four of whom were Galilean fishermen. One was a tax collector. One was a zealot. In a way, he would be put on the terrorist list these days because he was so opposed to the Roman government. He called these people together. They were what might be described as a rum bunch. They bounced off each other at times. And yet, with those 12 men, we are told that the world was turned upside down. 3,000 were converted. After a few weeks, there were 5,000 of them. Why? Because they were given new life, life in the Spirit, a forgiven life because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the late 18th century, a cobbler from Northampton went to India. He repaired other people's shoes. He spent 34 years there. And by the end of it, he had translated the Bible into the local language, and that Bible went on for years being used there. And he changed Indian culture. His name was William Carey. I want to ask you tonight, are you enjoying abundant life? Are you enjoying God working through you? Yesterday morning, we met to pray for revival. I want to ask you, if the Spirit came and reshaped your life and asked you to follow him in a new and living way, would you be prepared for that? Or do you want to continue in the life that you now have? A different man, a different life. And then my final point, a different flock. Verse 16 says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, when the Jewish leaders heard that, they were upset. That's an understatement. Verse 19 says, there was division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Now, that's not polite language. This bloke is round the bend. Don't listen to him. Verse 31, it shows us the physical reaction. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. What were they getting annoyed about? They were getting annoyed because Jesus said, the life that I want to give is not simply for Israel. It is not simply for the Jews. It is for people of all nations. And that is what we've got to focus on in this Missionary Sunday. And as we consider our focus for the coming year, there is a world out there that needs to be saved. And I believe that we should have a broad geographical vision. We shouldn't simply be concerned with Pill. That's right. That's important. But Jesus in Matthew 18 says, go to all nations. Go to every different ethnic group that there is. So look around you tonight. I thank God for the different ethnic groups that we have in our church. But let's go through Pill tonight. Let's take a walk and see the different ethnic groups that are here. We don't need to go overseas. We can preach this glorious message. We can say to different ethnic groups that they too can be saved here in Pill. In the Old Testament, Jacob gathered the flocks of his father-in-law. He gathered the mottled and the flecked. They were second class. Jesus gathers sinners. He gathers the despised. He gathers the rejected. And what does he do? He restores them fully. In Luke 15, we have the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. And when that son comes home, the father says, you know, this my son, he was lost and he's found. He's come back again. Let me read you the response of the father. In Luke 15, we read, but the father said to his servants, spring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. And that is what Jesus says to us. You made a mess of your life? I will restore you. I will in fact count you as a child of God. This morning, Alex read, and or it was read in the service, and the content of the Christian message was outlined in Luke 24 and verse 47. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. What does it mean to become a Christian? It means you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner. Doesn't matter your ethnic background. It doesn't matter the family you were born in. We have to acknowledge we are sinners and we have to repent. We have to turn around. We have to say, I'm heading down the wrong road. But notice, forgiveness of sins. When we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I wonder if you're here tonight and you're thinking, God could not forgive me. Friends, he can. He can forgive the worst of sinners. And on this Mission Sunday, we are to receive all who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to make them welcome. But more than that, we are to seek them. We are to go out. We are to witness. We are to declare that Jesus has come to give life. And although we cannot save ourselves, we are to plead that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and therefore be saved and find peace with God. The Lord Jesus Christ contrasts himself with every false teaching and he says, I've come to call you. I want to ask you tonight, are you prepared to be one of his sheep? In verse 16, he says that no one takes his life I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Are you prepared to listen to the voice of God tonight? My sheep hear my voice. and I know them, and they follow me. Are you tonight willing to listen to that voice, to find life to begin with, and then to find forgiveness in our God? May the Lord help us to indeed give thanks that Jesus has come to give life, and may we indeed declare his truth and his glory. We'll move on to communion shortly, but before we do that, I want us to sing our final hymn, which will be on the screen, or if you're using the supplement, it's page 28, Facing a Task Unfinished That Drives Us to Our Knees.